1 Peter 3:1 and 2. In the same way, you wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, as they observe your pure conduct with fear. Our last studies have followed the same theme. We were taught of how, in the same way, wives are to be subject to the fallen and sinful men who are their, quote, own husbands, as Jesus subjected himself to suffering at the hands of sinful men. We also saw the call of submission for wives to their, quote, own husbands as an exclusive headship relationship, so that when a wife subjects herself to another, such as a boss who is not her husband, she disobeys this command. We see the same teaching in Ephesians 5, verse 24, which places all of a wife's life under the protection, provision, and leadership of her own husband by commanding her to subject herself to him, quote, in everything. When a wife goes outside of this command, then, it is a sin which destroys God's revealed will and plan for the most foundational relationship of our society, of our homes, and of our marriages. Before we move on further, a side note is important. A true believer must always remember the rule of faith and let Scripture interpret Scripture. In other words, regarding this specific command for a wife to be submissive to her sinful husband, the wife is never to be in submission to something that goes against the clearly written Word of God. As the Lord expounds on this call, we learn further about what it means to righteously suffer like Jesus within the context of a wife and her own husband. First, we learn of what a wife can reap from sowing the seeds of being subject to your own husband in the words, quote, so that. In these words, God gives a wife a purpose and an aim while suffering righteously under a sinful husband, as well as a condition of this kind of suffering with the words, quote, if any of them are disobedient to the word. Let's address the condition first. Many teachers say that the, quote, if condition of a husband is, quote, disobedient to the word, is the condition of a believing wife living with an unbelieving husband. Such a biblical disobedience is certainly fitting to the verse, especially with the wording of, quote, so that they may be one without a word. However, neither the context or the words themselves restrict the condition to only that of a sinful unbelief. I would argue that at times I as a husband am disobedient to the word. In fact, I know personally how despite all of my wants and efforts, I will never be completely obedient to the word in this life. Not that any of us may ever use this fact as a loophole to permit a lack of effort or the pursuit of the goal of perfect holiness at the end of the race. So in other words, the condition of, quote, if any of them are disobedient to the word is applicable to my wife and all Christian marriages for that matter. The aim and purpose of submission listed here, then, should in no way be restricted to only unbelieving husbands, though, of course, they, too, are absolutely included. Why does this matter? Because the restricting of this to unbelieving husbands takes the promise away from every other believing wife. It removes the tremendous blessing and result God gives to the wives who are submitting themselves in righteousness while suffering unrighteously. It creates an unnecessary restriction and removes the hope and promise to those who submit that their behavior will, quote, win a husband over, quote, without a word by the conduct of their wife as they observe your pure conduct with fear. Now, some might cite the phrase, quote, that they may be won, as evidence to restrict this promise and hope to the condition of an unbelieving husband. Now, this is understandable if one does not study the language further. Why? Because the word one in English speaks of conversion. However, the Greek word here is kerdaino, which could also be translated as keep a loss from happening or make a profit or to gain from investment. So the original readers of 1 Peter then would have understood kerdaino with all these meanings. In other words, this is an investment made when a wife, quote, conducts herself in, quote, pure submission, quote, without a word to a sinful husband. That's an investment. By the way, pure here is the same Greek word as holy. It means to be without moral defect. It means pure as in untainted submission. In other words, such rich investments of pure submission are like seeds sown into the life of a wife's own husband. What is won then and what is profited could include the husband's salvation, sure. However, it could also be the fruit of the seed of submission, as any gain and profit of the husband's learning obedience to the word in any area of life. In other words, when a wife submits without a word to her husband who is fallen and sinful, she sanctifies him. She grows his holiness. She is a silent witness that transforms his life for God's glory. Now, this is a drastic contrast to what our human reasoning tells us. Just as our wicked and perverse culture teaches us to think that being, quote, submissive like Jesus would result in the husband lording his role over his wife in selfish ambition and dictatorship. And while there is this danger, and how dare any man do such a thing if his wife were to present him with such a beautiful gift of holiness as this? Such a man is, quote, given much, and from him, quote, much will be required, see Luke 12:48. And to counter this fear, God promises the submissive wife growth in her husband as a result of her obedience. Furthermore, our human reasoning tells us that submission lowers the honor of a wife. Yet God says just after this passage that a wife is a fellow heir of the grace of life and a husband is to treat her as such. See verse 7. In the end, we are taught how submission is a seed sown into the life of the husband that will reap his increased godliness and righteousness. It will in time bring about an increasingly God-honoring and blessed marriage through the transformation of both the wife and the husband into Christ-likeness. Last, let us learn from, quote, as they observe your pure conduct with fear in verse 1, as verse 6 also says, quote, not fearing any intimidation. Now, first we find the affirmation of fearing the husband in verse 1. This is the same idea of fear as we find in what it means to fear the Lord. That is a reverent and a respectful, shaking in your boots kind of a fear. In the same way that a man or a woman might have trembling fear on their wedding day, not in dread, but in awe of the greatness of the moment of their union. Regarding the Lord, this fear is the right response to his position as divine king of all, as judge of all, and as true master of all. The same idea is conveyed in 1 Peter 3, verse 2, where submission to a husband is described as pure conduct with fear. Wives are taught by the Lord here that respect and reverence should be given for the Lord's sake to the position of headship in the family. In fact, the same word for fear is used when God commands wives to, quote, respect their husbands in Ephesians 5:33. So that, as Ephesians 5:33 says, the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. It could be translated, the wife must see to it that she fears her husband. This again being a good and holy reverence and respect. And it's important to note, this is called for because the Lord is worthy, as no husband ever will deserve the respect that God is calling for here. Now, in a different way, in verse 6, instead of an affirming fear of the husband, there is a restriction of fear for the husband. Here it is explained as not fearing any intimidation. I can only imagine the intimidation of a wife submitting to her far from perfect and far from holy husband. Here God calls the wives of sinful men to look to him and not have any fear in their role or in their situation. To respectfully submit to their husbands, who each in their sin deserve only hell, but by the grace of God might receive forgiveness and love from the Father, as well as grace and love from their wives, as she lives out this role. This is a submitting to a husband who will never deserve to be submitted to, as they will always struggle with sin in this life and will never be completely rid of it. Here again in verse 6, we have an implied promise from God. That in a wife's obedience of submission, they need not fear intimidation of their husbands. Thus, this is a call to trust in the hope of God's promise, that there is a win or a gain of their suffering in subjection like there was for Jesus. Trust in the Lord's sovereign care and molding of yourself and your husband. He will grow the holy conduct of your husband in his timing and in his ways. Now ask yourself, if I'm a wife who truly believes in the grace of God and the undeserved love of Christ, do I show the same to my husband who is a fellow sinner like me? Do I submit myself to him exclusively and respectfully? Do I submit myself to his headship without a word, despite his shortcomings, and not because he's worthy, but because God is worthy? Do I place my hope in the promise of God's word, that sowing my pure conduct with fear of submission can reap the salvation of my husband and or his growth in obedience to the word? Am I aiming and praying for both so that the Lord might make my husband more obedient to himself by my being more obedient to his word? Now, ask yourself, if I am a husband, do I deserve this kind of behavior from my wife? And even though she will never live submission out perfectly in this life, do I allow what is there to cause me to repent of my own disobedience and grow me in holiness? Ask yourself, do I abuse the role of headship in any way when my wife is submissive to me? Do I get angry at her for her lack of submission? Because the Bible never prescribes this. I ought to instead be angry at myself because my own sinfulness understandably makes it difficult for her to be biblically submissive. Now, do I pray regularly for my own headship to be self-sacrificial and humble so that my wife will have no reason to be intimidated and have more reason to be motivated to be submissive? Now, whether a wife or a husband or not, let us each repent and grow in giving God's undeserved grace and selflessness to others, for God's sake and his glory alone. Let's pray. Father, as a wife or as a husband or as a child, I know that I fail to obey your word and live out my role in the family as I ought. I confess that I often want to even push for others to change and yet struggle to change myself. I confess this all as sin, not against the others in my family, as much as sin against you. I know that I rightly deserve hell for the guilt of my sins, for this disobedience. So forgive me for not living out my role as you have commanded. Forgive me not because I'm worthy. Forgive me not because I can perfectly ever keep these ways of righteousness. Forgive me because of your son Jesus and his submission of self-sacrificial suffering that he willingly gave for me in undeserved love. Now help me to follow his example, to live selflessly, to suffer unrighteous treatment with perseverance and endurance, to trust your word and obey your commands. Use your spirit and word now in me, Father, that I might be transformed into a living sacrifice for your praise and glory, looking to heaven and the treasure I store up there when I am obedient to you, so that my life would be an example for others and cause them to grow in holiness for your praise as well, so that those around me would be caused to live more and more for you and for your glory alone. Amen.